That's Nightbrain, our guest this week on the Worst Little Podcast.
Who wants to be famous?
The biggest little city in the world, American cradle of liberty.
Look at you, you're a freak!
What are we alive for except to grab all the kicks we can? To contaminate our society.
Now being renovated.
Fuck you, Nick.
Podcasting live from the recent past in the Dogwater Studios. High above you and R, and fuck you too, Mike. Appreciate it. It's a great Mike O'Mara there, everybody. It's the Worst Little Podcast, and I'm Nick Ramirez. Joining me is Patrick Starfish, Chewbacca, Dogwater Dick, Cadillac Kim's here, and the musical sounds of Nightbrain.
On the Worst Little Podcast, we're talking out of our ass.
I've dreamed of this moment.
Nightbrain's in the house.
Like, yeah. They're like, one day. We will be big enough that we will have Nightbrain on the show.
Yes. Nightbrain's in the house.
Definitely a get.
If you're a regular listener, you'll recall that on the It's Not Cute Anymore episode, Nightbrain.
We were obsessed.
We were obsessed.
Yes, and that's when we were first introduced to Nightbrain, and we were like, we got to get him as guest.
Yeah, it almost feels like we've been on the show, actually.
It finally came true. Season 15, our dream. Nightbrain is here.
And then during the Spencer Kilpatrick episode, we freaked the fuck out when we found out that the keyboard player was a Nightbrain.
Yes.
We lost our shit. So that's what, two-fifths of Nightbrain had been on before.
Losing her shit.
It was that Spencer Kilpatrick episode that we booked Nightbrain.
For the Patreon middle school.
No, middle school. Oh, shit, that was something else. Yeah, you're right.
The middle school?
Alex on the keyboard, yeah. And then let's go down the room and get everybody's voices. We got guitar.
This is Nathan.
Hi, Nathan.
On guitar, vocals.
Suzanne.
Hi, Suzanne.
But wait a second. We call Nathan Daddy, and Suzanne is Suze. Okay, we can keep going.
And then the bass player, Chris.
Yeah, this is Chris on the bass.
But
do we also call you Daddy?
He's Tio.
Tio.
Which is God in Spanish.
It's actually
really?
Uncle. It's Uncle.
Same diff.
Nick, what's your last name? I forgot.
Ramirez.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, I think. Anyway, the drummer, Emmanuel. Hello.
Yes.
Right? That's right, right?
LaFresh, actually.
LaFresh.
That's French for fresh.
It's actually French for the fresh.
The fresh.
He is also French for fresh.
French for fresh.
LaFresh. Oh, man. That first song definitely lived up to your hype.
That was rad.
That was dope. Hopefully this isn't like a Never Meet Your Heroes type situation.
Oh. And then we find out they're all dicks. God, that would suck. And then,
that would be rough.
No, Nightbrain has been delightful,
dude,
so far.
And when you whip out a fucking Chickawaka guitar right in the first song, oh, dude, there's nothing I like more than that shit.
I wasn't sure what that meant.
Oh, you know when it's a
Chickawaka, Chickawaka, Chickawaka,
Chickawaka. Oh, like the 70s.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of like.
As soon as that started happening, I was like, I have gone to heaven. This is so great.
Yeah. Oh, perfect.
Smooth.
So thank you guys so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having
appreciate
us.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. Where are you guys from? You're not Reno locals necessarily, are you? But
no, a few of us have lived in Reno in the past at some point, but we're from Quincy.
Oh, right.
Just over the hill.
Yeah. They're in the beautiful trees.
Yeah.
How'd you guys come together? How'd you guys meet? How'd you guys start Nightbrain?
Well, I mean, depending on where you start the story, let's see, my grandparents immigrated. No, I think we all went to high school together, except for Suzanne. She's from Westwood, which is
used to be Westwood.
A beautiful little town.
Actually, I hate Westwood, but I love Buffalo Chips, okay?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Kim.
The shit. Anyway, sorry
to
interrupt.
It is the best pizza
in the world. The beefy cheese supreme, I'm sorry, but I dream about that sandwich.
Oh, I don't think I've
had it's the best. Anyway, sorry, I interrupted your story.
So it's a different little logging town. Westwood was like one of the most booming logging towns in the West for a time, and then decayed and has been decaying ever since. And then Quincy is like also was a booming logging town and is also decaying in a sense. And they're on different rates of decay, and Westwood's much farther advanced in their rate of decay. That's what I'm trying to say. That's all I'm trying to say.
Yeah. There's a really simple explanation as well as to the decay of my hometown, which was in the late 20th century, the invention of the cardboard box just absolutely destroyed town because they specialized in making wooden crates.
And
decimated the economy.
Bummer. That's what happened.
They're just like, fuck, it's just like people don't want wooden crates anymore.
The tail is a little...
And now it comes back around and we want wooden crates.
I don't know what we're going
to
do.
Now you go to fucking TJ Maxx to get your wooden crates.
I don't know about this.
Exactly.
It's a cottage industry.
I bet wood shingles was a big hit too.
Probably.
Because, being like...
Maybe not in the woods.
Those wooden cassette racks that they used to make back in the 80s.
You never think about that. People always say like the horse and buggy industry got destroyed by the automobile industry. We forget that there are other industries that died too.
Cardboard boxes fucked a lot of things up.
Screwed a lot of people.
But they were great for the breakdancing industry.
Oh, yes. You try to do that on a wooden crate and you'd get all splinters in your back. You know what I'm saying?
Some crews would just buy a refrigerator just to get the box. Man.
Yes.
Having to return the fridge, but they got the badass box to throw on the playground. Yeah. So cardboard's, I guess, not all that bad.
Yeah. In a roundabout way, it's what brought us together, I think, is what we're saying.
It's true. It's true.
That's how we got together, yeah. We used to play in high school together in jazz band, the Ritalik Brothers and the Lemnot Brothers.
And that was in Quincy.
That's in Quincy.
Oh, yeah.
I have two friends recently that are both from Portola, and they talk about how the rivalry between Portola and Quincy is nuts, and that they make up names to make fun of each other.
Yeah.
That people from Quincy called them the, I forgot what it was, but it was like the Port to Losers or something like
that. There's a few of them out there.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But the teams play each other a lot, right? And it's like a big deal.
Yeah, but we're talking about music here. Like, musically, there was no rivalry whatsoever.
Between Portola and Quincy?
Well, there was just no competition. I don't know how to say it.
Did you have friends in Portola?
No.
Like, we hate those assholes.
Later on in life. Okay. Yeah. But back when we were like, when we had a lot going for us, we didn't need friends from Portola.
It's like how we think of Vegas, right?
It's a little,
that makes Reno the Portola and Vegas the Quincy.
Yeah. That's
no.
But kind of true, though.
Yeah, it's definitely true.
Maybe more like Carson City or something.
That's probably more.
Anyway, we don't hate people from Carson.
To anyone listening, Portola.
No, we love
really,
Portola.
It's such a beautiful town.
We love, absolutely love Portola.
Portola's a cool town.
It is. It's a badass town. And our dear friend Keely, who was on the show with It's Not Cute Anymore, she's living in Portola.
We love Keely.
So she's one of
I'm mistaken about that. She was at one point living in Portola, which I would say makes Portola a great place just like in and of itself. Keely once lived there.
She's going to hear this.
Yeah. Portola's stock just went up a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Bye.
You know? Keely's cool, and that band's cool, and I wish they'd come to Reno more.
Yeah.
Agreed.
God, I wish I could remember the dumb thing that she said. They called us, and she's from Portola, they called us the Portholes or something. I forget what it was.
Portholes?
Port toilet! That's what it was! Okay, yeah. Good job! Thank you.
We don't condone any of this, by the way. No. We love Portola. No. We can't make that more clear. Portola's awesome.
But it's fascinating what rival... They did a psychological study one time with a camp, and they made like this day people and these day and that day people, and they created two groups, and they hated each other, and it got so bad they didn't know how to stop it. And then what they did is they created a third group for the two of them to hate together, and that brought them together again.
Yeah, that's wow.
So that's what you need.
That's the theory, right? That like we as a human race could really use an alien invasion or a supernatural invasion, because that
so we
would
all come
be
together.
The thing
immediately unified
thought. Yes,
they should make a movie about that.
Yeah.
I don't know about immediately unified though, because then you'd have people who are like, this is a threat to the safety of the world, and other people who are like, this could be the evolution.
No,
the
aliens are killing everything and everyone.
But then, well, then they could
I think
be like,
it's very bold.
this is awful, and I hate them, but I hate people from Portola more.
So, does Portola and Quincy have a third city that they hate together?
Yeah,
you guys both hate
Loyalton.
Probably
Loyalton,
Sacramento,
Loyalton
for sure.
Oh,
Loyalton,
Auburn, screw Auburn.
Maybe the Bay Area. Just collect
Susanville.
Like,
I hate Susanville as well because I'm from
Paradise.
Fuck that place.
Paradise.
I'll say it. I don't care.
Poor Paradise.
Too soon, dude.
Paradise.
Oh, no.
Let's go Megalia.
Okay, Susanville and Paradise. No. I feel better now, you guys.
Yes, Susanville. Yeah, fuck Susanville.
Fuck Susanville.
Paradise, Paradise was and is beautiful.
Poor Paradise.
Aptly named. How many songs you guys got? Should we do another one?
Let's do it. Yeah, we're gonna we're gonna play a brand new one, brand
Ayo.
New.
Ooh.
It's called Kinda Kinda.
Nightbreaks in the house.
You guys, that was so amazing. And when it first started playing, it suddenly occurred to me, that's my bass. Like, I was just like, whoa.
Yeah, I missed the story on that. What happened? Why is that your bass?
I don't want to call anybody out. Want to explain, Chris?
No.
I knew this was going to come up. I freaking knew it. I'll take responsibility. We recently got a bus, which is very badass and cool.
It is badass and cool stuff. Yeah.
And now a lot of stuff is in the bus, and now it's inside the band room. It's in the bus. It's in the band room. I'm in and out, and I left the bass behind.
Oh! Well, I didn't know it was your fault. I thought it was Chris's fault.
It's not. It's not his fault.
I thought it was going to be...
But Rick...
Yeah.
A stolen story.
No,
so I'm glad
thank
it wasn't
God.
That.
Yeah, thank God.
But Rick, did you pull it out from under your bathroom sink?
Hell yeah! Bathroom sink is magic, as you guys know from previous episodes. Whatever you need, you just reach under there, and there it is.
Hey, it's working. A snare, or five.
Enough, now, there was only four strings on the bass, but still, fucking Chris is making do.
He's really making that thing sing, yeah.
Yeah, funky. It's never sounded better. That bass is going to be so sad when you leave it here.
Oh, back under the sink for you, bud.
Yeah, sorry. It's where you live.
So maybe we can go around the room and see, like... What are your one of your influences that you feel like you contribute to this band, like somebody who inspired you to be in a band like this, Night Brain, and we'll start with on guitar.
Daddy.
Daddy.
Oh, no.
Daddy, please.
Oh, no. I don't know. I feel pretty fortunate to be with these guys because I feel like the whole high school connection. Just trying to keep up with
yeah. I definitely feel like you got like an 80s thing going with like the... Right? Or am I just making that up?
I'll take whatever.
He was born in 1995, guys.
Yeah, no, I know. But just
I've never heard of the 80s.
But just like with the reverb and the, you know what I mean? It's like the.
Oh.
Well, no, there's some 70s. Like 70s. There's some 70s shit there, too.
Oh, it's all.
But you're.
These are all intentional things that are happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like big ones are like St. Vincent.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
They Might Be Giants kind of stuff.
Goofy stuff. Very good.
Yeah. I've been getting back into They Might Be Giants lately. I didn't listen to them for a long time, and it's been awesome.
And Suzanne.
It's hard to tell a circle on two floors. I would. These guys are, of course, influences. I love that answer. I would say some of my earlier influences. I grew up with a lot of Aretha Franklin and Norah Jones, Eva Cassidy. And some opera influence. And I think now I also bring in more voices like Jim Morrison or something. Mm-hmm. The softness has always been a part of my voice, and I've been trying to get it a little grimier.
That rock and roll it up a little bit, yeah.
That's right.
Have you tried years of drug and alcohol abuse?
You know what? I don't think I should answer that.
Suzanne was trained with opera as a singer. So that's kind of some of her background, too, which is really cool.
Very cool. Alex, what about you?
Probably, honestly... Most of what my dad showed me, and I think early on, key influence in particular, or the artists I gravitated towards happened to be key players, it seemed like.
Mm.
Like the Supertramps, the Steely Dans, a lot of the Beatles stuff has just amazing, simple, beautiful piano work in it. Elton John, that was all the stuff that I wanted to play on the piano when I was listening to it.
Mm-hmm. I kind of felt like that last song had some Elton John vibes to it.
Yeah, yeah. Queen too. Like we're influenced, I think, as a band. We have like a little Queen energy of our own in a way. I don't know. We covered one of their songs once and we liked it. I think that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, it's a little theatrical. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Theatrical, big with their operatic bigness, and then like charged up, big, full, like poundy, rhythmic, absolutely, you know, stuff going on. Yeah,
Alex is a drummer and doesn't know it.
Right. Well, I'm not as good a drummer as Emmanuel, so I don't get to play the drums. It's part of it.
Keyboard is a percussion instrument.
It's so cool, especially as brothers, to be able to lock in like that. And when we're like creating stuff live on stage, we'll start playing the same rhythms and not plan it. But it just happens, and it's pretty awesome.
So are you guys actual brothers, or is that
Yeah, you
really?
This is a brother band. It's Chris and Nathan are brothers. Emmanuel and I are brothers.
No way.
Yep. And then Suzanne, you know, so we love Suzanne.
Suzanne's brother couldn't make it. Chase Ramirez.
I have four real brothers, and I couldn't choose one.
Well, there's also four brothers.
I chose four other brothers.
You can't have all four.
There's also Chase Ramirez, who plays percussion and synth for us and trombone. And he could not make it tonight.
Yeah. Aw, boo.
Does he play bongos ever?
Yeah.
Yeah, when I saw you guys play, Spencer brought him back on.
Oh, man.
Oh,
and he
played
the fucking shit out of those bongos.
You know,
it blew me away.
That was the first time I've heard him do that on someone else's set.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. Yeah. I was like, I didn't know you could make bongos sound like that.
It blew all of us. So, none of us had ever heard Chase play like that, and we all looked at each other like,
he played like that in Nightbrain, but he was like taking lead lines.
Yes,
it was incredible.
Yeah, they gave him a solo or whatever. Okay, I'm glad I'm not the only one who noticed that, because that was amazing.
It was incredible.
Okay, great.
Shout out, props.
Was that show at Abby's?
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah.
Dang. I don't want to make it to anything cool anymore. I wanted to go to that.
Our good friends, the Sand Gators. This show comes out on Wednesday, yeah? So can I announce a show?
Hell yeah.
Yes. I was going to... Yeah, go ahead.
On this upcoming weekend, our group represents a few different shows, but the Sand Gators are we going to be playing. I'll be playing with them on Saturday at the Holland Project with a bunch of other cool bands. Sunday, Emmanuel's playing with the Church Ladies. Emmanuel, where's that at?
That's also Holland Project, yeah. Church Ladies is my garage rock duo with my good buddy Eris from Ranger. And we're tearing down the house Sunday night.
Man, so Holland's the place to be this weekend.
All weekend. Bring your sleeping bag.
Very good. Chris, who are some of your influences?
Oh, well, I think for me there's only one real answer. It's Geddy Lee, 100%, all day. I think in my formative years, he was my 100% focus. I just wanted to know him. I wanted to be his, like, catamite waifu. You can get that out if you want, but...
So did you stalk him? Did you go up to Canada and start following him around?
I saw him only from a distance, you know? Yes. I probably couldn't even throw anything at him because I'm not very athletic, but he...
That's probably for the best.
Huge focus for me was Geddy Lee.
Nice. I have a memory in high school being like a freshman and working on the basics, learning chameleon, trying to make it work on a trumpet, struggling. And Chris, meanwhile, was like... figuring out YYZ, not even figuring it out. He's just like thoughtlessly playing through YYZ, thoughtlessly playing through any Rush song ever.
Crazy. I didn't have a lot of friends.
Yeah.
Well, Geddy Lee was your friend.
Yeah.
That's true.
Alex and fucking Neil Peart. Rest his soul. Rip. Oh, what do you guys think about Rush going out on tour with a new drummer?
I think those tickets are pretty expensive.
Yeah, we were just talking about how that kind of sucks, huh, Chubby?
Are they coming anywhere near Reno?
They're probably doing Vegas, I imagine. Mm. And that's it's not probably near San Francisco. Well, no, but it's in Nevada.
Right.
Like the Raiders.
It will not be cheap.
Yeah. It's probably at the Sphere. Yeah.
Emmanuel.
Yes.
Who are some of your influences?
I'm going to choose Snarky Puppy for the Nightbrain Project. Jazz fusion band who honestly legitimately changed my life when I saw Lingus on YouTube for the first time. And they just combine music for the booty and for the brain.
It's the best.
It is the best. And I think Nightbrain does a really cool thing with that where it's kind of heady and kind of for musicians, but it also just grooves the whole time.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm.
For the booty and the brain. That's the name of this week's episode.
For the booty and for the brain. That is a good one. I was going to name
the
it.
The night brain, not, that is.
It's not cute anymore.
Oh, why we have to.
Oh, that makes so much sense. Yeah.
For the booty and for the brain.
Oh. So do you guys got any shows coming up? Like... just with this band? I'd like to come check you out live sometime. You playing anytime soon in this area or anywhere else?
New Year's Eve. We're going to be at the chapel.
Oh, fuck
sweet.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. That's always a killer party.
That's a great time. Yeah.
And then before that, December 20, we're going to throw a big party. This is our fourth annual Cheermeister. We call it the Holiday Cheermeister. And it's just a one-night mini-fest, as many bands as possible, a bunch of friends. It's super fun.
In Quincy?
In Quincy, yeah.
Quincy.
So with that one, I'm going to rattle off who's coming out. It's the Gill Brothers. It's Graham Farrow. It's the Sand Gators. It's Not Cute Anymore, and it's Night Brain. And then we're going to be featuring Noah Loudermilk and Mason Edwards. And that's on December 20 in Quincy, California.
Where at? Do you have a venue? Or is it a
Town Hall Theater.
Town Hall Theater?
Yeah, cool. Which is our historic theater there. Super fun.
Yeah, that sounds like great. Yeah. That's on the 20th, you said?
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Of December.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know where we're at in November. Are we past 20?
No. I don't know.
Okay. By the time this comes out, we will be.
Okay.
No one asked me that fucking
question. That's right. I really love Quincy. I love you guys are like from, like you still live in Quincy and are actually like playing music there.
Yeah, repping Quincy. Yeah.
Like, so as somebody who's from kind of generally that area, we didn't have anything when I was growing up there or when I was a young adult there. There were no bands in Susanville. There were no, you know, like not even in Quincy or Portola or whatever when I was that age. Nobody was doing anything, so it's awesome that you guys stayed there and are doing something.
Yeah. Yeah, the creative community there has changed a lot.
That's good to
but
hear.
It's kind of, you know, Quincy, I feel like, has kind of always had a thriving.
Yeah, it's a college town, and there's, you know.
Yeah, but there's also a huge demographic of just old hippies that moved there, and hippies. A lot of really
Bigfoot.
Cool band projects Bigfoot. That came out of there. And
it really is like the weirdest little, like, cowboy hippie town.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
the best. Yeah, I've always loved nice Quincy.
Yeah, when we talk about, I just want to clarify, when we talk about the decay of Quincy and of Westwood, it's the decay of the wood industry. But in other ways, Quincy and Westwood are flourishing.
Get the wood industry out of the way so other people can flourish.
Well, it's hard when there's no like actual industry. Like people can't find jobs and stuff. Like so you have hard. To. That's why I. Yeah. Well, not because Susanville sucked, but also there were no jobs, so you have to go where the jobs are.
The prison or the Walmart.
Yeah, exactly. You're exactly right.
Did you live there?
No, but I've been.
You're so right.
I've been to Susanville enough times to know what's going on out there.
Once.
And I think recently or coming up or something, Quincy has like a punk rock crawl.
Punk crawl.
That, yeah.
Daniel helped organize that.
Yeah.
That was very cool.
I was curious about how that went.
Yeah.
Oh, it was such a good time.
It was sick.
Yeah. I hooked him up with vampires. I get to pat myself on the back for that.
High quality punk rock right there.
I think Keely was the one that helped bring. Maybe you connected her with vampires. Anyway, I think Keely connected us with some of the bands that came out.
That was me.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I do.
That's awesome. Yeah. That was such a fun night. And we were able to bring bands from, Tahoe, Reno, Bay Area.
I was so bummed to miss it. I got COVID that week.
Oh, no.
I know. And I was like, shit, there was two things. One thing in Blairsden I was supposed to go to, and then I wanted to go to this punk crawl thing.
Yeah, we'll do it again. I want to do.
You better
like,
do it again.
I want to do it twice a year. Do like an indoor during the winter, and then a big one in the summer.
How was like the turnout and stuff? Like, was it a lot of like? Did the locals come out for it? Were
they did
were there tourists?
Yeah, I mean there was some tourists. We had some people show up from Portola, who then came out to our show with "It's Not Cute Anymore" like the week after, which was so cool.
Nice.
And then it's just the best in a small town. Like the same people show up, but they all put on their black clothes and dark makeup.
Nice.
And it was awesome. Aww.
I remember I went to, I think it was Pride where I hooked up with Wes and we got to talking about, he's not from there. I think he's from the Bay Area. Is that right? And he was like booking bands and stuff there. And he just like really wanted to see, some like bigger names come through or just something different.
Right.
And I just like really connected with that. I loved that.
Yeah.
It's just so cool to like go to like a random little bar next to the Safeway and see some cool ass band.
Yeah. We
in the middle of the trees.
That same random bar, Rich Bar, brought Cardiel on a.
Yes, they're so good.
Was that a Monday night?
Yes, it was a Monday night. I was trying to help him find an opener, but it was a Monday. What are you going to do?
Nathan opened.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, he did. That was also super sweet. Nathan's in a project.
Daddy.
Daddy, is in a project called Flux Wave, and it's a looping project with him and a really talented singer and pianist.
Also from Quincy?
Not her. Used no, she's Canadian and moved back to Canada actually since that time.
Oh, okay.
But well, it was a great project.
Pretty big fucking loops.
It was a great project, so it's done. You can... No, I'm not going to get back together.
It's all over.
If Christina's... hearing this right now, maybe she'll get inspired.
It's not over. I'm sorry.
You gotta come back on the show. You can't give it up, Christine. Is it Christina?
Christina. Oh, now she's gonna have to listen.
Christina. You're gonna have to come down to Reno at least once.
Come down from Canada.
So we can record you at the Worst Little Podcast.
Absolutely. So speaking of that, let's record another song.
Night Brain.
One thing we really like to do is just kind of get into something and let it be loose and kind of build it as we go. So this is an original. This is one of our older songs. First song we ever actually wrote, Suzanne and I together, about 4.5-5 years ago. So anyway, we're going to just play our like a cover of this song because it's just a different version from what you might find on the our first album. It's called Spooky Magic. Thank you.
That was cool. Man.
Beautiful.
For the booty and the brain.
That's right.
That was fun.
When I make a documentary film about you guys, it's going to be called For the Booty and the Neck Brain.
For the booty.
What does night brain? Yeah, what does that? What from? Does that mean to you? I feel like I have an idea what night brain is.
What is it?
I feel like I get it every day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, what does it mean?
I feel like you just don't give a fuck. Maybe eat more cheese or something. You know? Like it could get away from you. It could fucking get away from you though. You know what I mean? And start telling you shit that you don't. That you
it's
don't
totally.
Believe, you
it's totally I mean? Jekyll and Hyde. Yeah. And it's like I would wake up when I was a really bad alcoholic. I would wake up every single morning and say, "Fuck, that was so awful. I'm never drinking again." Mm. And by the time the sun went down and I was getting off work, I knew I was going to the store to get another bottle.
Yeah.
And that was my night brain.
Yeah.
What does night brain mean to night brain?
Yes.
Yeah, well, originally, I guess for me, when I think of night brain, I think of that distinct feeling of having stayed up all night, and then when the dawn starts to light up and you comprehend that the night has passed and the sun is coming back up, and there's like this space of like, whoa. And then you realize it's daytime. All of a sudden, it's 10 o'clock, but I'm still somewhere. I'm in night brain. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
I get it.
I think also for me, I think it's just heavily creative. Night brain was originally Alex's idea. So this is all meaning that I'm just projecting onto it over the years. But I think so many people, that's their primary creative zone. It's like usually starts around 11 p.m. and ends around 4 a.m. And there's just in the darkness, there's like this need for like color and light and sound. And I think to me that like if you can carry that into the day, that's like the dream for me. If I can carry like the creative drive and pursuit that I have between 11 p.m. and 4 a.m. into 7 p.m. to 11 p.m.
That's good. That's a good ambition to have.
Fight. There's
you're
a fight.
5 to 9 after your 9 to 5.
No,
exactly.
She doesn't, you know, that's not conducive for a 9 to 5 lifestyle.
No.
You
got
to have an alternative lifestyle.
I have to make music work.
There's a fight happening between night brain and day brain.
Inside you live two wolves.
Fuck day brain.
There are two wolves inside.
Daybrain is a hater.
Daybrain is pay brain. It gets you
that's
the dough.
True, yeah.
That's true. You know? Yep. That's very true.
Daybrain does pay the bills.
Yeah.
Yep. Nightbrain can't afford drinks if there's no daybrain.
Exactly.
Sorry. And I've seen what happens when that balance goes too far.
Yeah, it's
this
all
is
over
a
the streets of
fucking
Reno.
Tragedy on cosmic proportions, dude. This is a fucking nightmare, dude. Every fucking day, Nightbrain and Daybrain, dude. God damn it.
That's the cycle.
Fuck.
Oh, do you guys remember that episode of Rick and Morty when they fall asleep and they're
just watch that one.
Yeah, and they make their sleeping selves do all the work.
Oh yeah.
That one's so good.
Would you maybe rinse the plates off before you put them in the sink?
Yeah. Hey, I'm a bricklayer by trade, and I work in the refractory trade, so I work 12-hour shifts in like a mine, laying the same bricks over and over again, and looking at these brick patterns and trying to figure out problems. And then when I go to sleep after a 12-hour shift, and I dream about laying brick, it's the worst, because you're working and you're not getting paid for it, and it's just like you'd rather be dreaming about swimming naked with girls on Lake Tahoe, but you're laying bricks still on the autoclave. It's a bitch. So yeah,
I used to wake up for real like to dreams where I just heard like call lights, like when I worked acute, like when I worked on the in the hospital, like just call bells all fucking night.
Yeah. It's not fair.
You wake up, you literally feel like you worked all night.
Yeah, you got ripped off.
Fucking sucks.
You know you're not getting paid for it.
Exactly. Where's my fucking time and a half?
Dang.
Anyway.
Fucking nightmare.
I got, as an older fella, I got a good balance of day brain and just very little night brain. Actually, I like think back to my night brain days. And I was, from 11 to 4. Fuck, dude. I got a lot of shit done in the dark. Mm-hmm. But
it's the witching hour.
Yeah. If you want to see it, you got to create it.
Mm-hmm. Are there any favorite or famous prisoners in the Susanville prison?
Oh, I have no idea.
It's featured in Con Air.
Mm. Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Ice-T mentioned it in the song The Tower. He brought up Susanville. Nice. Susie's World.
Mm.
Wow.
It's a good song. It's about prison.
Yeah.
Did he bring up Carson City ever?
No, because he was talking about California prisons.
Right. Yep. Okay. Shit. They had a haunted house there this year.
At the Nevada State Prison? I heard that was cool. Yeah. And that Carson prison is haunted as fuck and really a pretty scary place as is.
Yeah.
Wait, were there prisoners there?
Back in the
with
day?
Chainsaws.
Back in the day. Chris, weren't you just up? Chris spent the night in this place, I think, recently.
At the Carson prison?
It was the Washoe Club.
Oh, is that different? Oh,
yeah. It's in Virginia City.
Okay, very different.
Same basic idea.
Famous prisoners that have been incarcerated in Susanville Prison include noted serial killer Charles Manson. Is he really a serial killer? I wouldn't count him. Ayo. He was there at one point.
Charles Manson,
serial killer
innocent.
Charles Ng. Charles Ng, far scarier than Charles Manson, if you've ever read his story. And serial killer Juan Corona.
Juan Corona.
Among others like Richard Allen Davis and Philip Garrido. I don't know who those are. Susanville houses multiple state prisons. And
it's going to be hard to top Charles Manson.
Charles Manson. No. If you read the Charles Ng story, he totally tops Charles Manson. Bad.
I don't believe you.
It's really bad.
I would say in notoriety, Manson all day.
Yeah,
they
for
have
sure.
T-shirts of him. They don't have Ng.
T-shirts, they don't have
Ng
T-shirts, and they shouldn't. That's bad.
They didn't have any.
The guy who was the dating game killer.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah. I don't know if he's still there.
They got
a
movie about that guy.
Oh, and the...
they got a lot of movies about Manson.
The Golden State Killer was there at one point. I don't know if he still is. This is fun.
It's high security.
Has Nightbrain ever considered playing a prison? Would you guys do that?
Oh.
I would. Absolutely.
Do they still do that?
I don't think so.
No, I looked into it. I'm like, why did this stop happening? And it turns out it just stopped because everybody just stopped doing it. Like, there wasn't a thing that happened.
Whoa. So there was that was
there's
like,
no law or policy or whatever.
Or they incident.
Just, or incident. It just they just stopped. So
that's an interesting niche.
I wonder if there was somebody who was like the booker for that. And
yeah, it might be worth going to prison for if you guys were going to play there.
Corner.
Yeah.
Walla Walla used to like have a motorcycle shop, Walla Walla State Penitentiary. And they had a flat track in there, and they would race flat track, and they kind of ran the prison internally. Prisons used to be way different.
Yeah.
But they've really honed in on how to make money out of human beings.
Yeah, it's just a machine now, and maybe it's not nearly as fun as it used to be.
Right.
Yeah. Right. But I don't mean that.
Or
that's not exactly.
It's not
the way
in their
to
interest
that.
To get you to not come back to prison, or
they
even
don't
just
want you to
get out.
Or get out.
Recidivism is big money.
I think it's 85 or 90% usually.
Is Alex really far away from his mic?
Yes.
Yeah.
Alex.
Sorry.
That's better.
Say that again.
Well, it's like one of those stats that was probably true when I heard it, which was 10 years ago. So maybe it's not even worth repeating. Mm. But there's a high rate of,
recidivism.
Our criminal justice system is about as bunk as a lot of our other institutions. Mm-hmm. But, that's not what we're here to talk about.
That's true.
But you know what? I would actually be really curious to hear some thoughts from you guys, because we've been talking about this as a band recently with Spotify.
Sure.
And what's going on and money trails and blah, blah, blah. And it's we've got a second album that we just spent a couple days in Seattle a few weeks ago. We're doing a 10-track. Another studio album, and we're considering tactics on how to release it.
I can't wait to fucking hear it.
Yeah. Thanks. Mm-hmm. We're excited. It's very, it sounds amazing. Thanks to Noah Loudermilk. And
shout out Noah, who's a man.
Shout out to Noah, who's phenomenal in all ways. We're a little divided. We're talking about pulling our stuff from Spotify, and we don't really know what that means for us in our career. I'm curious what you guys think.
There's other venues besides Spotify. I mean, right now we're not too into Spotify. Like, we pulled our shit off Spotify recently, didn't we?
We're trying to.
Yeah.
But I went there, I've been telling people, hey, we're not on that anymore. And then I went there a couple weeks later and we're still on there. So I was all, hey, I'm not a liar. I didn't know. I thought we were pulling it off.
Yeah. It's a tricky thing because you want to get your music out there so people can hear it.
And is Spotify still pissing us all off, or did they change their ways at all?
No, it's not just like not just the reason why we pulled our shit off there, which was heinous enough, but they've never paid artists shit. No. B, they are encouraging theft of, you know, actual art, like actual artist music, original music, to make AI slop. And, you know, there's
kind
like
of yeah. requiring it. Really.
Yeah.
It's like a term of agreement.
Yeah. So it's just like super unethical. Like,
it's greasy.
It's greasy as yeah. shit. Like, no matter how you look at it. Yeah.
So can an artist in today's world, can a band succeed without having any online presence?
No. God, no.
Well,
it's not that's new band.
Spotify yeah. introduces me to music.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and it's probably really good music, but my relationship with these artists is very minimal because right. the barrier to entry for finding these artists was so small. You know what I mean? And so I'm not gonna mm-hmm. you know, I'm not gonna go out of my way to seek them. I'm just like, oh, this is just this nice thing that was served to me on a fucking AI platter. You know what right. I mean?
Yeah.
All of the best relationships I've had with music and songs has been based on the context. You know what I mean, it's always like with a relationship with somebody or in a car or at a party or whatever. So you could do that somehow, but not on Spotify.
You know, and I don't even I think you know? Recently, because I was a huge, you know, obviously Spotify user, huge music fan. The algorithm and the music that they were serving up to me personally, I don't know, it seemed like bought and paid for. It seemed, I know that, I don't know if, you know, they say payola is not really a thing, but something's going on.
Yeah, you're right.
And I'm like, that doesn't seem right. That's not something I like. Why am I getting fed, you know, spoon-fed mm-hmm. this, like, bullshit when there's, like, a bunch of other shit that I could be listening to?
But is Amazon Music or Apple Music any better? Is there a place to go that's
Well, to be fair, I have been using a new service called, I don't know if I'm saying this right, Qbuzz or Qbuzz.
I heard about that.
It's about the same price as Spotify, but they pay more to artists than any other platform does. And they are like very transparent about where their funding comes from. There's no dark money. There's no, you know, shady advertisers, things like that. So, and they're not, you know, feeding everybody AI slop. The fact that recently a headline was the number one country song in the country
gospel
was
too.
Completely yeah. fucking AI.
The number one digital song.
Yeah.
And here's the deal with that. That was, it's a 99-cent song, right? And they sold 3,000. So you could just easily just pay.
Yeah.
You know, if these guys have three grand in their pockets. They're just all here. Buy $3,000 worth. And now we have a headline.
But it was like, and then it was like one of the most downloaded or streamed songs on Spotify, which was the issue. That's taking away from, you know, real artists.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you were to say to someone, hey, yeah, we're not on Spotify, I think at this day and age, I think they'd be more charmed and titillated than annoyed.
Mm-hmm. I do. And there are some artists, a perfect example that I could think of, I was thinking about this earlier actually, is a band that I love called Two Cow Garage. And they've pulled their shit off Spotify years ago. You can still find, you know, one or two songs, a single here or there. And some of the singers have their separate projects and some of the stuff's on there, but for the most part they've pulled it off and they've still been, you know, fine. So
I think too, like you just said that word Qbuzz, I just heard that earlier today in another context, and that maybe that might be a thing that actually is way cooler now. Mm. And Spotify has run its course as far as being you know, enjoyable and cool and ethical, you know what I mean?
Yeah, anything that gives me access to great music and also pays the artist is cool with me.
Yeah.
So let's just get the word out there. Let's make Qbuzz
and Nightbrain. Yeah.
It's just so easy. Like, I get it falling into like Spotify. It's a great app. Yeah. It's a great app. It works really well. You turn it on and it works and it does all the things. You don't even have to think about it.
The number of fucking things artists have to do since MySpace is just exploded.
You know, since MySpace? Is that what you said?
Yeah. It's like, it's not like social media disappears. It's just another fucking thing you have to do. You know what I mean? An ad, an update. You know what I mean? It's just, yeah. It sucks.
Rich just said.
There has to be a line somewhere. It is, you know what I mean?
It's hard for the creative spirit to create with the intention of it being consumed and like that kind of. And trying to balance not having that consume your creative process is like, can be challenging.
Yeah.
You mean you don't want to create content to stimulate the TikTok and Instagram algorithms?
I mean, you know, really, realistically, yeah, of course I do, because I want my music to be heard since I'm sharing it anyway.
Yeah.
I think it should be on TikTok and Instagram, because there's so much bullshit that's not actual art on TikTok and
Instagram.
Yeah,
real actual shit that's like actually organically awesome on that kind of platform.
Yeah. Nightbrain's coming for TikTok.
Do it.
Yeah, it's going to be there anyways. Might as well have some good shit on there.
Right?
That's a good point, Kim.
Yeah.
It's almost like maybe a band should hire one person to be in the band to just does the social media and make sure that you have 5 to 10 posts every fucking day.
That's
and,
what you
it's
have
a
to do.
Game, you know.
Every day, dude.
Yeah.
Day brain.
Somebody who's the
day.
Driver, the social media, counts the money at night. Like, you just that extra dude or gal in the band.
Hey,
you know?
These are indie musicians. Nobody's got money to pay a manager.
I know, you just, like, when you start the band, you just go, you just get
you're
paid just like the
somebody.
Rest of us. It'd be cool to have, I've always wanted this extra, too, like a audio visual person to do the video show for you, too, and to travel with you, and you always had a video show.
All those things are so important, but damn, finding them and paying for them and, like, all, man.
Like a Merman show without that is still cool,
Butthole
but.
Butthole Surfers.
Bring back theater troops.
Yeah, same with Butthole Surfers.
Theater troops.
But those guys have more money than most. You know, small time
when they were starting out, that they just use whatever they got.
That's right.
You know,
had their friends run a projector.
They make sure that the show was something different every time, and it was fucking crazy, like insane.
Yeah. Make you want to take acid.
Or maybe make you not want to take acid there.
Right. It's like so stimulating.
This episode is sponsored by the DEA.
I think, you know, we could get to a point where pyrotechnics could be an option.
Mm-hmm.
It's about how much great. Like creative fire you put into it.
That's
I think Alex needs
plan.
A button on his keyboard.
Oh, that would be so cool.
This is pyrotechnics.
First I'll get a compressor, then I'll get the pyrotechnics.
So anyways, regarding the Spotify thing, whatever you guys choose to do is going to be the right thing.
I think so, too. I don't think people are going to, like, especially, like, anybody in the creative community or other musicians, like, or fans or whatever, nobody's going to judge you for choosing to be on Spotify or not.
Right.
I don't think it's – I think we all kind of collectively understand it's a necessary evil, I guess.
Yeah.
But, like –
I don't so much care about other people's judgment. I think there's – the self-judgment is probably really what I'm dealing with. And then, you know, it's just, like, how to – the idea of how to, or is it possible to survive as an artist, to thrive as an artist, and to actually not exist online? I'm kind of intrigued by this idea.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know.
Yeah,
I feel like if you have a like a merch kind of thing, that's a big.
I don't think you can anymore.
I mean, we used to do it in the 90s.
But at least the store has to be online.
Man, for a long time, the Mummies did that.
Yeah. So you don't have to, like,
you can exist as an artist and have a lot of respect without having all this internet.
Mm.
But if you really want to get your music out there and have people appreciate it to the fullest, you just have no choice. You just pretty much got to put it online.
And venues and festivals are looking at that, too.
Absolutely.
Which, that's
you
the
know,
other
it's
thing.
Hard to. And so you'd need to be in the right place, the right time, with the right ears. With the right person to,
if other people are talking about you online, you might make it, because they talk about the fact that you're not there, right?
We would tag Nightbrain, but we can't find them anywhere. Only you.
We all hate streaming, and we all hate the culture of it, and we all hate artists not getting paid. But the one fucking great thing is that back when I was a kid, people in small towns didn't get to hear really cool music.
Same.
And now that has been utterly obliterated.
Yes.
Anywhere in the world, you can hear anything in the world.
Yeah.
And with streaming and satellite radio.
As much as we bitch about what's wrong with it, that's fucking really cool.
Yeah, totally.
I agree. And I think that probably I know that it exposes kids who want to be in bands or who whatever, you know, to different types of music and stuff. And so they're creating more music. And it's not just that we get to all, like, learn about new stuff or you know, get exposed to other types of music or whatever. But, you know, kids are listening to this. Kids are like, oh, I can do that. I can pick up a guitar or whatever. Mm-hmm. As somebody from a really tiny town with no radio stations besides NPR and the Christian rock station, like, it was not accessible at all to me when
I
was young.
You survived. You made it. You found your way through.
I am grateful that kids nowadays don't have to do that. You can, they have access. We didn't have the internet when I was a teenager, you know, not as we know it now. Right. And
so imagine when you were being raised in a cult, if you could have popped in your headphones and listened to Twisted Sister, wouldn't that have been great?
You know, I was really like limited to what was in the bargain bin at Walmart. So we were lucky to have a Walmart. A lot of places aren't. So it's like, you know.
Yeah. But you got to remember, the Beatles did it and never had a website.
But they had, that's true, but...
That's one way is go back and
lots of bands did it and didn't have a website.
But the radio, like, radio was different back then. Radio was huge back
then.
Radio
was God.
And until, like, the 90s, like, the early 2000s even, whenever the internet popped off, you know, like, whenever things became... Whenever we could download whatever the fuck we wanted on our cell phones, radio was still king.
Man, and one DJ... One DJ in a big city could change the face of music forever, you know, just by like being like, oh, I like that song. I'm going to play it a lot.
And then that trickled down to
it hits
everything.
The whole country. Yeah. Yep. That's the way shit worked back then.
So we don't really have radio as a thing besides top 40. And
it's niche now.
Pop country and stuff.
Yeah. Besides corporate.
Right? We had some very, oh God, Reno had some awesome radio stations. Until a few years ago, we had
KW and K is still hanging in there.
K-Wink is still
my favorite.
Yeah.
But like, you know, mainstream radio and stuff that.
Yeah. And then it does slog out more watered down and full of shit. Yep.
So, yeah, you're right, Rick. It's two sides of, you know,
I mean,
same coin.
You know, I hate to be optimistic about it, but there is.
How dare you?
There is a good side. I just want to point out.
I don't love that bands aren't getting paid, but I do love that I get to listen to them.
Yeah. Right.
So, but also bands will get paid eventually, like if people become fans and then go to shows and buy merch. I mean, it's like a symbiotic kind of.
And I kind of always thought, guess what? If you're in it for the money, stop.
Well, that's also true.
But somebody's making the money one way or the other.
So. Yeah, that's true. Spotify's making all the money.
Yep. Wow.
It's hard. It's a hard question. That's a good question. And something I think everybody's going to be talking about a lot more. You know?
Absolutely.
So
yeah, I'm sorry we're still on Spotify, you guys.
We
tried. We didn't want to be there.
You'll probably get the Nightbrain episode on Spotify.
Oh, that's all right.
I canceled my subscription.
You can find Nightbrain on Spotify.
Should we all go back to SoundCloud?
No.
I hated SoundCloud. That sucks.
Bandcamp's I don't even use Spotify. I use Amazon, which is just as bad, but it's like I just love the service so much. I can hear everything.
Oh, so, really? Is it good? I already pay for
like
Amazon.
It. Yeah.
Might as well.
Yep.
And I pay for YouTube Premium. Don't they have like a music thing too?
They do. Yeah.
Am I paying for three music services?
Yeah, and you don't even use
and not
them,
even, yeah. And that's the devil you hate. And you're just like, can I have three of them?
God damn it. This episode is sponsored by Rocket Money.
and the
again.
DEA.
And the DEA. You
and
cancel
Spotify
our unused
music.
Subscriptions.
I love the idea the DEA is like, how do we get our message out there? A podcast, that's what it's all about.
Yeah. Some obscure podcast in Reno. Absolutely.
Hey, we're voted best, okay? We're not obscure.
All right, the number one podcast.
Yeah, we're the top 50 Reno podcast. You guys remember that?
I do.
We're in the top 50.
I'm all, excuse me, we're in the top one, okay? So
there's only like five.
Right.
But we are the best of the worst or the worst of the best. I don't know. And Nightbrain, where are you guys playing next? And how can people get a hold of you?
Yeah,
on the
20th.
Internet?
Yep. Well,
20th of December.
20th of December is the next show. You can get a hold of us on the internet and on so many ways, all the streaming platforms. And we have a website. Very elementary, very cool website that Suzanne built herself.
Fuck yeah.
We shoulder all the labor and all the love in our group. So, yeah, we're our own marketers. And Noah is our producer and live engineer and studio engineer. And really, he is a member of Nightbrain. Nightbrain doesn't exist without Noah Loudermilk. I want to make that very clear.
Very nice.
So, yeah, the next show is in Quincy, December 20 at the Town Hall Theater. And we're playing with Sand Gators, the Gill Brothers, Graham Farrow, It's Not Cute Anymore, Mason Edwards, and Noah Loudermilk. And then we'll be playing here in Reno New Year's Eve at the chapel with the Sand Gators and Subtle Lovers.
Damn.
That's a hot New Year's Eve.
That party is way too cool for me. I can already tell you. I'm not going to get in.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very
you
got
to know
cool,
somebody in the band to get in. So
you can just sit outside.
Hook up.
Because there's so many people in the bands.
Those bands playing, people are going to get laid.
That's sexy music.
That tiny little bar, you'll be able to hear it anywhere in the neighborhood.
That's true. Yeah. That's true.
And so they always open up the window, even when it's cold.
Yep.
That wall.
Yeah. Midnight. Yeah. Get a kiss.
We also have social media. You can find us on the social medias. Instagram's our most prolific. I think that's where most of the people are.
I think so. I'm not on Instagram because they canceled my account.
But not TikTok yet.
You're not. I'm not on TikTok either. I don't know how TikTok works. I don't like it. It's confusing.
Yeah.
I've never did a TikTok.
It's a whole
like how do you get I don't know.
We're so old.
I'm old as shit. I use Facebook, you guys.
I mean, everything on TikTok ends up on Instagram anyway.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
And everything on Instagram ends up on Facebook, and everything on Facebook ends up on whatever.
Yeah, so just two birds, one stone. Just
ends up on some list somewhere.
Watching my YouTube reels, whatever.
Alex, talk about our shirts.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, we were talking about merchandising. We have found that merch is a really cool way of connecting with people, also getting a little bit of income and doing a cool transaction with art.
I go to a show. If I have a little extra, I always want to get a new t-shirt from the band, especially a rap band I like. Like Grand or Love.
You'll have your shirts with you in December 20th and 31st. And are they available somewhere else?
I get compliments on my Night Brand shirt all the time.
Sweet.
Sweet. Yeah.
That Night Brand shirt was made by, or is designed by Zach Kogel and then hand printed by Caitlin Kogel, his wife.
Oh, wow.
Good friends of ours, and they've been so good to us as a band. He's donated so much artwork. He's a professional artist and a tattoo artist, has a calico tattoo shop in Quincy.
Oh, Quincy.
So yeah, they've pretty much hand catered most of our merch, and then we've got this new batch coming. My neighbor Brian Buswell is a brilliant artist and has designed a new batch of merch that we'll be selling for the next two shows, the one in Quincy and the one in Reno.
Cool.
And anyway, just wanted to shout those individuals out because they really help build up
absolutely.
All right. Do you have any shirts with you tonight that we can take a photo of?
Oh, we're going to give you guys all t-shirts.
If
we have the right sizes, because we're out of some sizes.
Are they in the bus? The bus is really cool, you
guys. They're in the bus.
I pulled up today and I actually walked past Rick's house because I couldn't see the sailboat. And the Uber dropped me off, and I was like, it's the place at the sailboat. And he's like, I don't know. And he just stopped in the middle of the street. And I was like, oh, there's a bus in front of it. But that's a really sweet fucking bus.
Yeah.
It's
pretty nice. Yeah, it was built by our friend Lucas here in town. He's manager at the Generator. Him and Nina, his partner. And anyway, they did such a good job welding that up.
Nice.
And the Generator community is a really badass community that we're glad to be kind of friends with on the outskirts. They're so cool there. You know, it's like, we don't really know how to be that cool yet, but we are glad to have that. Yes.
Well, Cadillac Kim knows that.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
She helped start that shit.
She's been around.
Cool. Nice.
All you got to do is show up and push a broom. That's how you're cool enough.
Showing up.
Just show up and start doing some shit.
Filling out papers is the other half.
Pretty much. That's exactly true. Older you get, for sure.
You guys got a double shot for us coming
you
out?
Take
that
us out
will
with,
equal six, right?
You want to take us out with two?
Bonus
two?
Real quick, though, before we go, I wanted to make sure that I shouted out, just because I love this fucking band. Mm-hmm. And I love the name. It's so fun to say.
Yeah.
Murdering Horror is playing at Black Rabbit on Wednesday, November 26th. Yeah. So right before Thanksgiving.
That's some great music, too.
We love our friends in Murdering Horror. Again, I'm just going to say it again, Murdering Horror, because I love them. I love saying Murdering Horror. So there's that going on Wednesday night next week. And then the following Saturday, November 29th, is a special Loudest Folk at Brewery Arts Center with Vic Ruggiero and Lauren Napier. So definitely see that. They've come to Reno several times, and I've seen them play a bunch. Vic is from the Slackers, and it's just some really fucking sweet-ass music. And we love our friend Spike, and we love Brewery Art Center, so go support that.
Absolutely.
Love that.
The best.
And then also, like, I have family coming to visit for Thanksgiving week, and we want to do something Tuesday. Probably not Wednesday night. Murdering Horror might not be my 75-year-old aunt's favorite
you never
type
know.
Of music. You never know. But if anybody hears of any other, like, more mellow shows going on, please let me know. And then also, please reach out to myself or the Reverend Rory Dowd if you are able to volunteer for Merry Anarchy, which is coming up December 6th at Shims. We're definitely still looking for door people, security, and merch.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Very cool. And yeah, this year it's going, it's a tribute to Jenny Pez Dispenser, and it's going to her family. And it's our 21st year of doing Merry Anarchy, so that's kind of fucking phenomenal.
XXI.
Larry made some cool shirts.
Some of the bands we got, we're having shirts this year.
Yeah, we're having shirts. Excellent. They're really cool. They're pink.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Some of the bands we got Canyon White, of course.
Canyon.
Merry Anarchist. Eric Foreman, one of my favorite songwriters. Eric. Mike Reed, Shredder. Wabuska Yachting Club.
Oh, I haven't seen them in a while.
Little classic rock, easy going. And we got comedians this year like Vicky Gordon and Bobby Benedict. And we got some new bands like Spawn of Face and Crime Wife. And then we got Cat Heart with Feral Heart, Roxy Colley, Glitterbats, and from the Bay Area, Kittenhead.
Yay.
Who's
Damn.
Been doing Merry Anarchy since... I think the 90s or something. Yeah. So, save the date for that, December 6th, you guys.
And it's going to be like an all-day thing, 3 p.m. to 12. So 3 p.m. to midnight, which is insane. But we're going to make it work.
9-hour party. You can come in for a couple hours. Please go home, come help us. Come back.
Just come help.
Yeah. Do a little shift. That'd be great.
Give me a break.
That's awesome. Yeah. So thank you, Cadillac Kim. And thank you, Reverend Rory Dowd.
It's mostly Rory at this point. Rory's done the brunt of, because I was so busy planning the ill-fated and canceled Heterophobia 10-year anniversary show.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody got sick.
Yeah.
Everybody got sick, yeah. So we had to cancel that. So I've been so busy putting everything into that I have kind of let Rory, thankfully Rory was able to take the lead on Merry Anarchy.
Very cool.
But now I'm full speed ahead.
Does that mean that our podcast was the Heterophobia 10-year anniversary show?
I do believe that is.
Okay. Well, I'm glad we had one then.
We are going to redo it at some point. But yeah.
Right on.
There you go.
There's the 411 on the music scene here and in Quincy. You got it on the Worst Little Podcast. For the Reverend Rory Dowd, for the Lord Strice, for Dogwater Dick, Cadillac Kim, Chewbacca, Patrick, and myself. Life is short and we love you. Thanks for being here, Night Brain.
Thanks for having us.
On the Worst Little Podcast, we're talking out of our ass. Thank you.
What else could I?